Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, what's going on? We back in the place. You already know. Each and every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm your host, Side, and we're still on the way. Man, you already know what's going down. We got the exclusive today. So I hope you're ready. I hope you got your pens and your pads and your ears open, eyes open. It's going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. So let's just go ahead and approach the throne. So, Father, Yahushua the Messiah's name, we thank you for another day. Father, we pray that you would show us what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, that we may be prepared for the things coming upon the world and that we may be worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the world. And we love you and we thank you and we just pray that you would watch over us to help us to become blameless. And so we esteem your name, and we love you. We ask you to forgive us for any of the sins that we have committed. Yahushua the Messiah's name we pray. So be it, hallelujah, amen. So you already know it's going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm your side. We have some breaking news information because it's a lot. It's so much going on in the world. I mean, what we try to do here is we try to, where the scriptures and the news meet, because, you turn on CNN, you turn on whatever you have in MSNBC, NBC, you get the news that they want to release. But there's also, alternative news and things that, people don't really talk about and that you really have to search for and things that are going on. But what we want to talk about, I was just, just praying about what should come forth today. And one of the things we want to look over is we know about the wilderness experience according to Revelations of what's going to happen. And because, we continue to talk about these things because we're living in the last times, the last, so-called what people say days. But we want to talk about something that I had learned a long time ago, and it's rearing its head again, and it's right there again. So what we want to talk about is, because you got the scriptures, we're going to go to Revelations 20. No, actually, we'll go to, before we go to Revelations, go to Mark. We want to go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 4. And it says, say to us, when shall these events be, and what shall be the sign of all this to be accomplished? And Yahushua began to say to them, take heed that no one lead you astray. For many will come my name, saying, I am he, and they shall lead many astray. And when you hear of fightings and reports of fightings, do not be troubled. It has to take place, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, reign against reign, and there shall be earthquakes in various places, and there shall be scarcity of food, disturbances. These are the beginning of the birth pains. But take heed for yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to congregations. You shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before the rulers and the sovereigns for my sake, for a witness to them. Now I want to pause right there, because what we're talking about now, because it's going to be a lot of, we talked about this before. It's going to be a lot of fear mongering, what they say, get people scared, and
and things, because you're going to see things break out and stuff like that. But what you got to remember is we haven't even really entered into the birth pains. We're starting to get into the birth pains, but, you know, these things are starting to take place. We're hearing rumors of wars and wars. You know, you got war in Syria right now. The rebels, you know, you had the war in Libya. You know, they got the rumor of war against Iran. So you have wars and rumors of wars. We have earthquakes. There was a big earthquake, you know, of course, this year. And then, you had the earthquakes, different places. And the scarcity of food, that's beginning to happen. And these things are rearing up to the birth pains. But what I want to talk about, I want to kind of focus on verse 9. And they shall deliver you of the counsel. So what we try to do here, we try to, you know, take the news and whatever's going on. I found out in the actual article, you know, actually went down. But what has recently happened? And I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about March, February of this year. What they have, and I just found out, they have what they call, and please don't quote me, it's called like the Bilateral Commission of basically Jews and Christians. Okay, what they have is the Bilateral Commission of like Jews and Christians. And what this group does, they meet, and what they do is they scheme upon basically ways to combine the faith of Judaism and Christianity. Now this happened this year, just recently. I believe it was either last month or the month before. And this is breaking news right here. Okay, what they were doing, they're trying to, and who's all at this meeting? This meeting takes place in Rome at the, I believe it's called, you know, they call it the Holy See in the Vatican. The people who attend this meeting are chief rabbis of, you know, the synagogue of Hashatan, chief rabbis. And you remember, we gotta rewind it for a minute. If you remember back in the day, where in 2004 they actually reinstated the 70-man Sanhedrin, which their governing body of law was, you know, the Talmud. You know, the Talmudic, you know, laws, which is the most, you know, evilest book probably on the face of this earth, going directly against the word of Yahuwah. Okay, they reinstated this in 2004. The guy that's the head of that, he's also the head of the Temple Institute, which is one of the biggest organizations in getting the Third Temple rebuilt according to the specifications of what they, you know, try and do in Ezekiel, you know, the book of Ezekiel. So who meets there is the, you know, the at this Bilateral Commission is the chief rabbis of the, you know, who connected to the Sanhedrin, you know, the Orthodox Ashkenazi Jews, and cardinals and popes and pope of the Christianity, you know, because pretty much Christianity falls under the umbrella of Rome and Roman Catholics, so it falls in that book. So they meet at this Trilateral Commission to go over how they can scheme upon ways to bring these two religions together. Now, this is big right here. One of the biggest combiners in the bridging of Judaism and Christianity is what you call the Noahide Laws. And I don't know if you ever heard of the Noahide Laws, but the Noahide Laws are, I went over there a couple shows a while back. You know, the Noahide Laws are what they call the seven Noahide Laws of man, which they say after the flood, Yahuwah, you know, they don't say Yahuwah, but they say, you know, Elohim or, you know, Hashem or whatever, gave to Noah to give to man. And these are the seven Noahide laws which govern man and which all men should live by. Well, they say all men should live by. And these laws are not even, and if you go back in the scriptures, if you won't find the seven Noahide laws of man. You know, you can combine laws together and make some kind of thing, but it's not, you know, accurate. And so, you know, they say this. But this meeting this year, they have a meeting this year which kind of springboard off one of the meetings they had back in 2007. And the meeting they had back in 2007 was, Trilateral Commission was, they were going and getting closer to implementing the Noahide laws in, and they're trying to push it in the United Nations. Okay. Now, this gets big now because they just had this meeting. This is breaking news. They just had this meeting. I believe it was, like I said, either last month or this month, but it was in the spring. I believe it was in the spring of this year. And what you have to understand is once you understand the Noahide laws, this law stems from a Ashkenazi Jew rabbi who came over to America. You know, he came over to America. They started dialoguing with, you know, Jimmy Carter. You know, Jimmy Carter. Then they started dialoguing with Ronald Reagan and, you know, eventually George Bush and George W. Bush. And it's rolling over to Obama now, okay? But what they did is George Bush in 95, 96, he signed the Public Law 102-14 recognizing this Jewish law that they brought over here, set the Noahide laws of man, which they say, you know, governs men. And the Jewish Encyclopedia records that this law, you know, that any one of these breaking these laws will be death by decapitation. So I just want to give you a review so you know you'll be up to speed in what's going on, and you probably might even notice. But that be the fact that breaking one of these laws is death by decapitation. Okay. Now, it's very interesting because if you read Revelations 24, you see Revelations 24, we'll skim over real quick. It'll say, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was given to them, and the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yahushua, and because of the word of Elohim, is they did not worship the beast nor his image, nor did they receive the mark upon their foreheads and upon their hands, and they lived and reigned forever. And I saw those who had been beheaded. Now, if we go back in history, there's not really a period in history where people were being lined up and being beheaded because of the witness they bore for Yahushua. It's not really recorded. You know, a couple people have been beheaded. You know, I believe one of the prophets had been beheaded, but there hasn't been, you know, a mass of believers being beheaded, you know, because of the witness they bore for Yahushua. But what you have here is you have the means that what they're going to do it by, and the means of how it's going to, you know, play in connection with the scriptures. Now, remember Mark 13. Now, remember Mark 13, verse 11. Verse 9. Now, check this out. We're going to keep. I got to bridge you up in speed now, so we get to what's really going on. Okay. Now, what you had this trilateral commission meeting talking about this law because they believe that the Christians and even Muslims, any religion, you can convert to Judaism. And Judaism, and what they're going to do with Judaism is almost combine it in all these religions. They're going to take the Judaism and combine it with the Muslims, the Christians, and all these religions, so there will be no distinctive religion, but it will be, you know, almost one religion. And of course, we know this. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Because when you look at the U.S. Constitution, when you look at the U.S. Constitution and you look at the Noahide laws, they completely go against one another. So one of these things has to give. Because you're talking about in one of the laws in the Noahide laws is, you know, you can't blaspheme G-O-D. Okay? Now, of course, we know being in the truth that G-O-D is a vague term. It's a very vague, it's very vague term. I mean, it's not even a specific mighty one. You know, it's a very vague term, like, you know, G-O-D. Who is G-O-D? To these people, you know, G-O-D is somebody else, and to these people, G-O-D is somebody else. You can't blaspheme. So basically, the courts can determine who has blasphemed G-O-D. And according to Noahide laws, you don't need witnesses. You only need one witness. A witness can be a false witness, and they can deliver you up. And so you see what Yahushua said right here. He said, but take heed for yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils and congregations. What you have here is this bilateral commission, what they have been doing is secretly. They have been doing this in secret. Them and the cardinals and the popes, they have been meeting in secret every so often, and they just had a meeting just recently. They have been coming up with a system in which which eventually will get incorporated into, you know, the 10 nations, the United Nations, the beast, in which they will set up local courts, and they will set up these courts and councils that are directly under the Jewish rule. Okay, so what you're gonna have here is you're gonna have people being able to breathe a false witness against somebody. You say the name Yahuwah, and they deliver you up. Hey, he done blasphemed G-O-D. They deliver you up to the councils to come and bear witness, like you just said, against you. You will go before rulers and sovereigns for my name's sake for a witness to them. So they're setting this up. They've been doing this in secretly, and you haven't been knowing about it. But let's go back to what I was saying about the Constitution. Now, the Constitution supposedly says that everybody has the right to freedom of expression of religion, right? But the Noahide laws say you can't express your religion, because if you go against whoever they say G-O-D is, you will be decapitated. Your punishment is death by decapitation. So, of course, one of these things has to give. And what you got to understand is, the Constitution is already in progress of being disintegrated and being obsolete until when they get to the point and they rectify all these so-called amendments. You just remember that the Supreme Court just overturned, backed the healthcare law, which they will penalize people who choose. Not to get health insurance. So we'll penalize people who choose not to get health insurance that could get it, and if they didn't want to get it, you know what I'm saying? So you see that the rights of choice are being, you know, completely disintegrated. But when it happens all the way, when the Constitution is fully destroyed, there will be no Constitution, there will be no law. Lawlessness will bring forth all together, and you will have the Noahide laws ruling. And so I'm gonna get a little bit into the article. Okay, now of course in America, now a lot of people say, oh well, all this is all this is imaginary, they're not gonna do this. But I mean, you can look at the stats, and you can look at the stats of even, you know, the production of guillotines and different things like that, where you can see, hey, they're up to something, you know, because that's how, you know, people be beheaded, is the old-fashioned way of, you know, decapitation, you know, through guillotine. And so right here, I have the law right here in front of me. Okay, now all this is legit. Georgia House Representatives, 1995, 1996 sessions, HB 1274, death penalty guillotine provisions, code section 1710-38, 1710-44, a bill to be entitled an act. Okay. Even in Georgia, okay, it says 1-2 Code of Georgia related to the death penalty. Okay, let me scroll down. So these things are already being in place in your local laws and in the U.S. law books. So in order for this whole plan to be enacted, you know, they're gonna have to even do away more with the Constitution, in which you got to remember is the Jewish court and the cardinals, the papacy, which is the beast in Revelations, they are going to be connected to the United Nations. The United Nations has the governing body law over the entire world, okay? So that makes individual laws obsolete. So all they have to do is the UN, all that would take for the U.S. Constitution to be obsolete and for the United Nations law to rule over all the laws is for the United Nations to say that they now have authority over all jurisdiction of, you know, territory. Okay, so I'm gonna read a little bit of this article. It says the United Nations meeting in Rome is wrapping up 5 weeks of working proposing international criminal court. It says the new court would be a worldwide jurisdiction and could investigate, indict, hold, try, punish, or condemn certain crimes. Now, when they say the word crimes, okay, according to what these people are doing in secret, they're trying to, because I mean this is not imaginary. This is something that might not happen or nothing like that. This is something that's gonna happen. Because Yahushua already said it. He said, "Take heed for yourself, that they shall deliver you up to councils and to congregations." The councils and congregations. This is already set up. This is gonna happen in the future where you're gonna proclaim Yahuwah, you know, or our future, you know, children or whatever. They will proclaim Yahuwah and they will be delivered up to these congregations and councils to bear witness, you know, according to, you know, why? Because to them it's a criminal act. For you to blaspheme, for you to say Yahuwah is Elohim, for you to say Yahushua is the Messiah, that is a criminal act of blaspheming, which is against the Noahide laws of man, which will be instituted in the United Nations, in which they're doing now, what I was just reading. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more. It says the new court would have worldwide jurisdiction and could investigate, indict, hold, try, and punish those who have certain crimes. The proposed international court would subject Americans to a new world authority. Where it says we're talking about, this is quote, we're talking about a creating here something that will exercise genuine power, real put people in jail power, and that is responsible to no one but itself, said Lee Castle, the constitutional lawyer with the Washington firm of Houghton and Williams. Okay, so you're not talking about bloggers, you're not talking about, you know, all these people out here. These are constitutional people. These are lawyers. These are congressmen who are talking about this world court in which they are secretly doing behind doors. And so what is happening is, this is what you have. You have the cardinals, the popes, and the synagogue of Satan, and all these people meeting together in secret, proposing this law to the UN, which it will work. But we're going to talk about the good part, because none of this really, because we want to warn people, you know what I'm saying, to get up out of this world, to get out of Babylon. He says, come up out of her, my people, you know, so that you may not share in her sins, you know, for her sins to reach the heavens. So we want to tell people about this, but we're going to talk about it in a little bit about the wilderness experience and about the divine protection Yahushua promises us for, you know, those who keep his word, you know, to escape these things that are coming upon the world. You know, because we don't want to be aware, we don't want to be asleep, and we don't want to not know, you know, what's coming upon the world, because we're not fearing anything, you know. But we want to be aware of what's going on, so when these things happen, we're not caught by surprise, we're not, you know, tricked or anything. Okay, like I said, it says, because they never, and this court has never defined what crimes are. It says heresy and unbelief are crimes. Look, this is what the Archbishop of St. Louis said. Heresy and unbelief are crimes. In Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, and for instance, all the peoples are, it says, where all peoples are Catholics and where the Catholic religion is essentially part of the law of the land. They are punished as crimes. You hear that? Heresy and unbelief are crimes. They're not talking about belief in the truth. They're talking about belief in what they believe. If you remember the Catholic Inquisitions and what they were basically doing and the Crusades and all that, they were basically killing people who didn't believe like they believe. You know? And so these things may not get to the point where, you know, because Yahushua said he's gonna pray that we're worthy. He's gonna protect us. But what we're trying to prepare our spirits for, our minds for, is persecution, because that's gonna come with the territory. And a lot of people, and it's important that we talk about these things. And you're like, oh, well, why do you keep talking about this? Because you have to prepare your heart for the persecution, because you're gonna face persecution. And what you got to remember is, it's important because Yahushua goes over a lot of parables where there have been some people who he talks about. There's going to be a group of people who's going to face persecution, who's going to fall away because they're not prepared for it. They're not strong enough to face that. And, you know, that's like that seed that fell on that rocky soil, you know. So we have to prepare our hearts and minds for persecution, for you being persecuted, because you don't want to get to a point where now you're scared to proclaim the name of Yahuwah. You're scared to proclaim the name Yahushua, and you become ashamed of him. Because if you become ashamed of him, he will become ashamed of you. So we can't get to that point. But there's going to be a lot of things where, you know, you're going to know that persecution is going to come if you're going to talk about the name. So we just got to prepare our hearts to get stronger and ask Yahuwah for strength to go against this persecution, because we got to know that, hey, just as, you know, a servant is not greater than his master. You know, that's what we have to remember. A servant is not greater than his master. And this is how Yahushua was treated. You know, we're going to be treated in the future, but we cannot lose sight or lose heart about what's going on. So that's why we got to prepare ourselves. So when, you know, that's what Kelvin said. He said, don't act like this is something strange. So when you see, you know, people delivering, you get delivered up to bear witness, the testimony about Yahushua, you know, you're getting persecuted about the name Yahushua, or they're trying to shut you down, or, you know, they're taking you from your job or whatever they're doing to try to scheme on you, you're not surprised, and you're not going to lose heart, but you're actually praising Yahuwah that you're worthy enough to receive persecution. And because if you receive persecution, that means the esteem of Yahuwah is upon you. And that's what Yahuwah said. He said, hey, beware if men talk well of you. You know, beware if men talk well of you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's so how they did the false prophets. You know, so in his territory, you're going to have that persecution. So that's what we're preparing ourselves for, our spirit for, and being able to go against that. We're going to talk about the wilderness experience in a minute. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. So back to what the what they are saying is crimes. I mean, you even have the things they're talking about now with the pre-crime, you know, doing the pre-crime thing, and, you know, all these different things. So, but this is what he says. It says, every cardinal, archbishop, bishop of the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope. You hear that, right? It says, in which occur the following words. Heretic, schismatic, and rebels to our master, who they say is the Pope. It says, or our, for our successors, I utmost persecute. I will to my utmost persecute and oppose. So you see that, right? The spirit of Christianity, and Christianity is not our friend. The spirit of Christianity, they take an allegiance to the Pope, saying that anybody is a heretic, that they will do their utmost to oppose and persecute. Okay? So it's already in their MO to persecute the people who do not believe in JC, the image of the beast, or so what you have, the same thing that happened in Daniel's days, it's the same thing that happened in Daniel's day when they played the music and they said, hey, when the music play, man, you know, bow down and worship, you know, the image. And so the same thing is going to be here. You know, you're going to face situations where they're going to, you know, eventually say, hey, you got to worship the beast, you got to worship JC, you got to worship this system, what they're doing. And just like in Daniel's day, if you didn't worship the beast, you'd be thrown into the furnace of the fire, right? And so to be, burnt alive. And so the same thing will happen in the future. You know, people who do not bow to the beast, just like it said in Revelation, that they will, you know, be decapitated. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. It says, look, it says the Vatican has the one world court. It has the one world church. It said as soon as we have the global financial disaster, there will be a one world currency. It says that is already backed by the treasury as well. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about the president, because all the presidents have links with, you know, the Pope, and President Barack Obama is not no different. Because you know, in 2002 he met with Pope Benedict twice, and you know, some secret things were, transpired. But what you have here is you have the world court continuing to be set up and instituted, in which they will try to get they will try to rule the world out of Jerusalem, and it's already being set up, like I said, with these secret meetings. We can't be caught unaware, and we can't be, afraid and different things like that, because they're continuing to, set these things up. Now I want to show you something that Yahuwah's word is real. Revelations 20:4 is real. So I want to give you some real facts right now. I'm gonna give you some facts. Guillotines in America. What do they mean? What are they for? It says it was actually being lobbied in Washington to get guillotines legalized for the government use. It says the states that hold these guillotines are, in fact, Georgia and Montana. It says the information held was that 15,000 or 30,000 guillotines have been supplied to Georgia and as Montana as for safekeeping until such time they are needed. Look, it says, I have an article that has the actual reports of these, I mean, even down to the shipping numbers, the IS codes of how many things they have been ordering, you know, so these things, what we're showing is that, you know, Yahuwah's word, of course, Yahuwah's word is, so we take Yahuwah's word and we look at it, and then we look into the world and we see what's going on. And they're setting these things up for, you know, what the scriptures are saying. So these things are not imaginary. So, you know, you have this going on, and look, it says the modern metal military guillotines are approximately 6.5 feet high and with hammer strength as well, according to Bezdel, the military source I spoke, one of the military sources. And so all around, and not only in America, but also in different nations like Europe, Germany, China, and different in different nations, they're getting orders of these things ready, because what's going to happen is they're going to view, of course, like we talked about before, Project Megiddo. You know, they put the Hebrews on there. They put anybody, you know, who believes in radical truth or you know, prophetic events. You know, they're on the list, you know, of suspects who, you know, could, you know, who could be, you know, be far than the crime and all this stuff. And so this is what's going on in your local news, and this is what's been going on, is, you know, this Sanhedrin with the rabbis and the cardinals and the popes, they just had a meeting, you know, talking about the Noah laws and getting them implemented into the United Nations. And this is actually going on behind scenes. And so, and like I said, it's been an increase of, you know, the numbers of ordering, you know, these guillotines and everything like that. So they're actually trying to set up these courts and councils in your local government, because what you got to realize is the reason you have your local government, you live in the county, say you live in L.A., they have a county, they have a police department, you know, that police department, once the United Nations ratifies the, you know, Constitution, they will have a world power in which they are focused under. And so that now they no longer get their orders from the state, because the state gets their orders from the UN. And so your local government is basically getting their orders from the United Nations, in which will be ruled over by the, you know, the anti-Messiah. And the structure and the setup is already set up, so it's not too much, you know, that needs to transpire. It's just time and Yahuwah's words being played out. But we wanted to talk about that. We wanted to keep you up to breast about these Noah laws and what they're trying to do, because, you know, these things directly go against Yahuwah's word, and Yahuwah never instituted, you know, these Noah laws, or he never instituted, you know, these things. So don't buy into the hype of these things. But these things are transpiring. But we want to flip the coin right now. You listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. Sorry about that. We're back on the air. But what we want to talk about real quick, we want to go over the flip side of that, because what you have here is you have divine protection, the wilderness experience, which we're going to go through most likely in this generation, is what you have, and it's very exciting, man. It's very exciting because, you know, everything is speeding toward, you know, all this is speeding toward, you know, the coming of Yahushua. And so you remember when Elijah, you know, when he faced against Jezebel, and he went into the wilderness, and Yahuwah took him in a whirlwind, you know, basically away from what was going on, because they were going to kill him, you know. So what you have to remember, in Revelation, there are groups of people. There are groups of people, you know, who may be persecuted. There are groups of people who may be you know, beheaded, because there was one seal in Revelations where, you know, people are dying and people are putting on right robes, and, you know, the set apart ones, and they're saying, you know, how much more, how much longer is it? They ask them, how much longer is it, you know, before you avenge, you know, the blood, you know, of us? And they say, to, you know, to the number of our brothers die. Because you got to know, through the great, when the great tribulation happens, you know, there many will become martyrs. And they will become martyrs through what we just talked about. They won't bow to the beast, and they will be decapitated. They'll be decapitated because of their belief. But there is also a group that, remember Yahushua said, he said, pray that you are worthy to escape those things. So, and what he was talking about is escape those things which are coming upon the world. You're talking about the great tribulation, the 3.5 years, the 42 months of the great tribulation, in which, you know, it ends with the day of Yahuwah. You know, pray that we are worthy. Pray that we are worthy, like Eliyahu, Elijah was worthy enough that Yahuwah took him on a whirlwind and took him, you know, away, so you know, he wouldn't face, you know, the wrath of, you know, Jezebel and what they were trying to do for us, killing him. And so we want to talk about that experience and being worthy, you know, to escape, you know, the great tribulation. Matter of fact, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. It says, and these are the words Yahuwah spoke concerning Yisrael and Yehudah. For this is what Yahuwah said. We have heard the voice of trembling and fear and not of peace. Ask now. I said, ask now and see if a man is given birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all the faces turn pale? Oh, how it says, for that day is, it says, for great is that day, there is none like it. Now I want to pause right there. What did Yahushua say back when we read? You can read it in all the Besorahs, and you can read all the Besorahs. We're going to try to keep your hands on Mark 13, but right here, I'm going to just read this right here. Jeremiah says, "And it shall be in that day, declares Yahuwah." No, for great is that day; there is none like it. Okay, and what did Yahushua say? And Matityahu, Matthew 24, he said that, for there shall be a great distress such as never been before the world until this time, no ever shall be. So this is what you're talking about. You're talking about, he said, look, but keep reading Jeremiah 30, verse 7. For great is that day, and there is none like it. And it is the time of Jacob's distress, but he shall be saved out of it. That's what he said. He said, but he shall be saved out of it. If you read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and now at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great head is who is standing over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of distress such as never was since there is the nation until that time. And at that time, the people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So what you got to remember is, why are we going over these end time events and things that transpire? Because what you're going to have happen when Yahushua starts breaking these seals, the seven seals, which is spoken of in Revelations, you're going to see, we're going to see some things that our eyes have never even conceived. And, you know, it's a lot of fear. You can get a lot of fear. You're going to be like, man, you know, how are we going to survive through this? You know, how are we going to live through this? But, you know, you have to know that Yahuwah is with us. You know, that Yahushua is with us, and that he said he will protect us, you know, when it gets to the point of, you know, that great tribulation. So that's one comforting fact, because, you know, you see these things going on, you'll lose focus that, hey, you know, hey, even though this thing's going on, you know, Yahushua is going to be there. He's going to save us. And that's what he says, because he says, look, he says, and those who endure to the end shall be saved. You know, so those who endure to that point of the great tribulation, they shall be saved. Because before the great tribulation, there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes on that's going to be hard to endure. It's going to be a lot of persecution. It's going to be a lot of things going on that is going to be hard to endure. But those who endure to the end shall be saved, you know, shall be saved. Because if you're saved from something, you know, that means something can harm you. And so, you know, he gives us insurance that, hey, so we just have to continue to pray every day that we're worthy, that we're putting away these sins, that we're walking in righteousness, that we may be counted worthy, that our name may be written in that book, that when that time comes, just like Daniel 12:1 says, and that there will be time of distress such as there never has been since there was a nation until that time. At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who was found written in the book. So we pray that we're worthy to be found written in that book at that time to be delivered from what's coming upon the world. Because, I mean, it's going to be ugly. I mean, the day of Yahuwah is dreadful. Who can stand it? And that's what he said. The day of Yahuwah is dreadful. You know, who can stand it? A lot of people think the world's going to keep circling and going on just like it is, and, you know, the economy's not going to collapse and all these things. And people keep saying it and, you know, all these things. But these things are going to happen. So when it happens, we're not surprised, you know. But this is what it says. We want to go back to Mark 13, verse 11. And this is a point in part two. When they finish setting up their council, and your local government is now taking orders from the United Nations and basically taking orders from the anti-Messiah, because, you know, possibly we could be here to, like I say, witness all this and go through these, you know, these first couple of seals and witness all these things. But when you are delivered up to bear to, it says, and when they lead you away to deliver you up, do not worry beforehand what you will say, but whatever is given to you in an hour, speak that. For it is not you that is speaking, but a set apart spirit. And brother shall deliver a brother to death, and his father his child, and children shall rise against their parents and shall put them to death. Just like we just talked about with the Noahide laws, you don't even need, you know, the Torah says, you know, by two or three witnesses, every fact should be established. You couldn't put a person to death off one witness alone. You need two witnesses to, you know, confirm. But this new law that they're setting up, I mean, a child could, you know, say that, hey, you broke one of the Noahide laws. You just blasphemed. You know, I'm going to deliver you up. I'm going to call the council. You know, I'm going to call whoever's connected to the council to deliver you up. And they come and grab you and go ahead, and you get beheaded because you just blasphemed, and that's your punishment, the decapitation. You can see how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen is children will deliver their parents up to these councils in which they will have the access to legally, blatantly kill these people. And that's what they're going to do. A lot of people think it's going to be, it's going to be like some mass thing in which they're trying to do like an illusion. What you got to do, everything they're doing is systematically by law. Their law, not Yahuwah's law, but by law, which is on the books, in which these Congress, these other people have passed, and these things are so legally, when they get ready to do these things, it's on paper, and That way nobody can really fight against it, and they can justify it because it's on the law books. They're saying, hey, these things are on the law books. You know, these things have been passed by Congress, you know, whether you knew about it or didn't. These things are kind of, so this is what they're doing is to get it to the point where they're doing these things legally. Just like how Hitler took over and did what he was doing. A lot of the things they did were legally, you know, according to their law, not Yahuwah's law, but according to their law, because these things had been passed. And so, verse 13, it says, "You shall be hated by all for my name." It says, "But he shall endure to the end, shall be saved." So, this is what we have. And one of my favorite ones, too, is Revelations. Revelation chapter 3, and he says, look, because what's going to happen is you're going to be persecuted for the name of Yahushua, in the name of Yahuwah. So when you're persecuted for the name of Yahuwah, the natural reaction is, you know, to not even talk about the name. But we don't want to get to the point where the persecution now, you know, gets us to the point of now despair, you know, where we're scared, we're afraid to talk about the name. We got to have that same spirit like Kepha and Hukkanah had, where when they were getting persecuted for the name and they were delivered up to the council, they said, hey, man, whether it's on you or not, hey, to listen to you, you know, you decide, hey, but we are not able to stop talking about the things we have heard or seen. We're not able to stop talking about the name Yahuwah, you know, because you want to persecute. You put us in jail, hey, when I get back out, I'm going to do the same thing I was doing before, and I'm still proclaiming the name Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? And we're not talking about being reckless. We're talking about being led by the Lord HaKadosh, but we're talking about not being ashamed because of the persecution, you know, because you look at the people, you look at the prophets, you look at the apostles, you know, they were never, persecution never affected them, you know, preaching and proclaiming the Besorah. I mean, you look at some of the apostles and, you know, Shaul and all them. I mean, they've been thrown in jail, and they came out and was preaching in the same spot they got picked, you know, almost the same spot they got picked up at, you know, because, hey, they ain't afraid because they know, you know, Yahuwah takes care of them, and they're going to proclaim, and great is your reward, you know, for proclaiming the Besorah. So we don't want to get to the point where persecution will get you to the fact to deny his name, you know, because a perfect example of that is when Yahushua was being put to death, and, you know, Yahushua told him, he said, hey, you know, before the clock crows three times, you would deny my name. And so when they were there, and the people asked him, hey, man, you was with him, man, you know, and he denied him, but he later repented. But we don't want to get to that point that we deny him, because if we deny him and then something happened to us, if we don't have a chance to repent, you know, then we're doomed. So we don't want to deny him. And this is what he says right here, Revelation chapter 3. He says, for I know your works, see, that I have set before you an open door that no one is able to shut, that you have little power, yet you have guarded my word and have not denied my name. See, I am giving those who the congregation of Hashatan, who say they are Yahudim but are not, but lie. See, I am making them come before, worship before your feet, and know that that I have loved you. Because you have guarded my word of endurance, I shall also guard you from the hour of trial, which is coming upon the whole world, to try those who dwell on earth. And remember, Yahushua said, quote unquote, precept upon precept, he said, pray that you are worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the world. So pray that we are worthy to do this. Pray that we are worthy to continue to guard his word and to continue not to deny his name. Because you're going to face persecution, but you have to continue to guard his word and continue to not deny his name. If you don't deny his name and you stay in his word, and you guard his word, then we will be worthy enough to escape the things that are coming upon us. But we got to pray that we will be able to continue to guard his word and not deny his name. Because he said, if we do those two things, he will guard us. We'll be worthy enough to make it in. You know, not by our own might, not by our own strength, but we have to pray that he will give us strength to continue to guard his word, to continue that when we face persecution and hate, that we will continue to love and to continue to be strong. But hey, man, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm the whole side, and we were on the way. Shabbat shalom. I hope you have a good one. And may Yahuwah bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you. And continue to watch over you and protect you. Love you. We out of here. Shalom.